Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church, especially warm welcome to guests, and particularly warm welcome to those who found it difficult to come to church today. I invite you to find your Sing the Journey, that is the green book, turn to number 18, and rise in body or spirit as you are able to join in song. Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even a donkey's colt. Today, we begin our worship service with the energy and celebration of the triumphal entry. Soon you will have the opportunity to process with the children, waving scarves and singing. Hopefully you all have a scarf. The ushers have some if you missed it. But in your bulletin today, you will also find a piece of scrap paper for the end of the service. When we have the opportunity for the ritual of bringing our sins to the cross, claiming the costly gift of forgiveness. And during this service, you may want to reflect on what you might want to write on this paper, what needs grace and forgiveness in your life today, or simply bring the paper, knowing what it represents. So, let us commence this full journey with prayer. We have come to meet you today, Jesus. We don't know quite what to expect. We might think we know what we need, how you can meet our needs, but we come humbly, laying our coats, our scarves, palm branches before you. It's your call. Reveal to us who you are, how you can be a savior in our lives, a savior in our world today. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Our next song is in the green Sing the Journey, number 15. Number 15, Santo. We will sing Spanish and then English and then Spanish.
Because we believe that our worship today is enriched by not just coming individually, but by us coming as community together to enrich and uphold each other in worship, we now invite you to the time of passing the peace, So I invite you to stand as you are able, and we will shortly turn to each other, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and respond, "And also with you." Okay, children, it's time for our special Palm Sunday procession. Adults, it is time for our special Palm Sunday tradition. The colt is ready, the branches are raised, the disciples are yearning, and our hearts are amazed. So all of us are invited to join the children when we sing and process, inviting the full coming of Jesus and preparing for his next arrival. So you are invited to process with the children. Children, hello, children. We need you. This is big. We need help. So adults, you are invited to step into the aisle and join the children as they process around. And we would invite those who are willing when you pass the altar. We're hoping for two loops when you pass the altar table the second time, contributing to our fabric visual. You can lay your scarf down at the communion table. I think we're ready for music.
Yeah. So I invite children and little ones to keep coming forward. So we have a big word, something we're going to do, and I want to tell you what you're going to do. We're going to lead a procession. And that is kind of a big word. Do you know what a procession is? It's kind of like a parade. It's walking. And oftentimes when there are important things that happen, you know, like on special days, you might have a parade, you might have walking. And this Bible story we read today is when Jesus came into Jerusalem and children and all the people welcomed him. So everyone, if you have a scarf, you can wave that if you've got it on, or you can wave it like this. And some of our older children are going to help carry banners. So if I asked you to help carry one of the banners, and I want you to go get that in the back and bring it up to the front. Yep, you and you two go and get yours. Ashley can walk with you, that's fine. Yep, you can go with them, it's okay. And does anybody else need a scarf, you okay? All right, these are palm banners, grown-ups. Can you see how we made them? There, so you can, yeah, that big, all right. You want to stand right here, and then Ruby and Felipe are going to come with you. All right, and then we're going to have the banners are going to go in the front, and we're going to follow them, because that's what you do in a procession. You follow the leader, okay? And we're going to walk together, and the grown-ups are going to join with us, and we're remembering when everyone welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem.
Blue song folder. These are pretty big, so find a friend to share it with so that you can still wave your scarf. So number 968 in the blue song folder. And once you found that, I invite you to stand. Number 968, Holy Lord.
And so now we join the scripture story with our reading from Matthew 21. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
El Evangelio según San Mateo, capítulo 21, versículos 6 a 11. Y los discípulos fueron y hicieron como Jesús les mandó, y trajeron el asna y el pollino, y pusieron sobre ellos sus mantos, y él se sentó encima. Y la multitud, que era muy numerosa, tendía sus mantos en el camino, y otras cortaban ramas de los árboles, y las tendían en el camino.
The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Y la gente que iba delante y la que iba detrás aclamaba diciendo, "Hosanna al Hijo de David. Bendito el que viene en el nombre del Señor. Hosanna en las alturas."
And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Cuando entró él en Jerusalén, toda la ciudad se conmovió, diciendo, "¿Quién es este?" Y la gente decía, "Este es Jesús, el profeta de Nazaret de Galilea."
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor. Gracias a Dios.
Our preacher this morning is our own beloved Scott Willer. Scott Littwiller.
Littwiller.
All right. Well, I hope you all get to know Scott really well. He brings the word of God today. Let us pray for Scott. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of Scott's mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. So I have to admit, my favorite part about this passage, Matthew, ever the literalist, shows Jesus riding both the colt and his mother, or her mother. And so I imagine Jesus straddling both of these donkeys and sort of awkwardly and lopsidedly wobbling as he goes along on this procession, just hoping that he doesn't fall off of them both and fall on his face. How many of us who have ever worked in a ministry setting have ever had that prayer? "God, please just don't let me fall on my face and humiliate myself." Growing up, I've heard this story year after year in my small country church. The parts that were always repeated were that Jesus chose to ride a humble colt, rather than the war horse that he deserved. Jesus was nonviolent. He was humble and meek. He chose this mode of transportation to offset the imagery of the entry of the soldiers who are coming back from battle. Rather than coming home from a battle, Jesus was entering into one. But this battle is a different battle against evil and sin. And so in my church, we cried Hosanna and we waved palm trees for this Jesus. And every other time I have read this passage or heard it spoken, I've realized that it was widely out of context. I had only been presented with this docile, tame Jesus entering into another city as he had many times before. But this time with a purpose, I suppose. But he continues to meekly walk into Jerusalem the last days of his life, where he eventually gives his life for his followers. And now, while I do believe all of these things to be true, there is so much more to this story. Looking back at Matthew 19, we have Pharisees who are trying to catch Jesus in a trap so that they can discredit him with the hot topic of divorce. But Jesus informs him that they are asking the wrong questions. They just don't get it. After this, the disciples are disgruntled by the fact that Jesus wants the little children to be involved in his ministry. And in fact, Jesus tells his followers that they need to be more like the little children. And the disciples just don't get it. Then a rich young ruler comes and talks to Jesus, but he just doesn't understand how he can possibly live a life without the luxury of his wealth. When Jesus tells the parable of the workers in the vineyard to his disciples, they just can't wrap their minds around the fact that two people who work different hours of the day can receive the same reward. They just don't get it. Following this, a mother of two of Jesus' disciples asks Jesus to place her sons on opposite sides of him when he comes to glory, one on the left and one on the right. Jesus lets her know that she is making the wrong request. If you want to be served, you have to first serve. And she just doesn't get it. Then, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus exemplifies his message by having compassion on two blind men by healing them. Then it is finally time for the entry into Jerusalem. Jesus knew that this was going to happen. He predicted it weeks prior. But I still can't imagine what it must have been like to sit on that slow-moving donkey with all these people watching you, waiting for something to happen as you actively move toward your death. I can imagine Jesus starts to get very hot, and he feels his heart beating, not only faster, but harder as well. His face gets flushed, and he feels his pulse in his ears, and he walks closer and closer to Jerusalem. Each step, one step closer to that destiny that he's known, that he's been coming to, and just really isn't sure about. Does he really want to do this? Smile and wave to all the people in the crowd. One step closer to Friday. And now maybe it's the residual high blood pressure from the donkey ride. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit, because she can be really feisty. But something in that journey really lights a fire under Jesus. Because the next thing that he does is he goes to the temple, makes a whip, and drives the moneylenders and merchants from the house of the Lord. But now going back to the actual entry event, Passover was such an important part of the Jewish calendar. This is the day that they remember when God liberated them from Egypt. Empire no longer had a hold on them. They were free. God remembered God's people. While the Jews were remembering their liberation, Pilate, the new Pharaoh, also used this holiday as a way to remind them that there was a new empire in town, Rome. Many historians agree that Pilate or other Roman rulers would have been entering Jerusalem on that same day that Jesus did, doing this as a reminder that the Jews were no longer free. Some historians even say that this procession would have been happening at the exact same time as Jesus' procession. Enter Jesus on a humble donkey. Who was in attendance at Jesus' entry? Likely, it would have been those who had to travel to Jerusalem by foot because they couldn't pay for any other means of transport. They were likely the outsiders, the downtrodden. They weren't at Pilate's entry because they weren't the greatest among anyone. I imagine that anyone who is anyone would be watching Pilate enter the city. There would have been parades with banners and maybe confetti and clowns and horses. And then there's Jesus on the other side of the city with his followers and with these outsiders taking off their cloaks and laying them at Jesus' feet, running and finding branches to make up for these banners that they didn't have, crying out Hosanna to Jesus, hoping against hope that maybe he could finally liberate them again. And whose parade are we at? The exciting one with the cheering, the horses, the processions, or the one with the donkey and the branches and Jesus? Today in 2017, we live in the age of a new empire. To try and remember this fact, I've been attending a Lenten Bible study reflecting the last week of Jesus' life and pairing it with the last year of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life. We opened this Bible study with a passage of the triumphal entry and an excerpt from one of King's lectures from a series called The Trumpet of Consciousness, and I will read a short passage from that. There is a fire raging now for the poor of this society. Disinherited people all over the world are bleeding to death from deep social and economic wounds. They need brigades of ambulance drivers who will have to ignore the red lights of the present system until the emergency is solved. The dispossessed of this nation, the poor, both white and Negro, live in a cruelly unjust society. They must organize a revolution against injustice, not against the lives of the persons who are their fellow citizens, but against the structures through which society is refusing to take means which have been called for, which are at hand, to lift the load of poverty. And King's words ring true even 50 years later. I love the line that says they need brigades of ambulance drivers who will ignore the red lights of the present system until the emergency is solved. It gives me chills just thinking about it. In this time of empire now, and in this time of so many injustices being done against oppressed people, which red lights can we run in order to solve this emergency? A line that I have heard in recent history over and over again is we had a black president, so racism is over. This was often said to discredit the Black Lives Matter movement. And those who made this movement just couldn't see the systemic racism, like how people with names that are spelled differently often got overlooked by employers and weren't hired to new jobs. Or how people of color are more likely to be denied an apartment or a loan, or more likely to get a harsh prison sentence because of a minor offense than a white person. If racism is dead, then why are young men getting killed in the streets for the simple crime of wearing a hoodie at night while black? I've also heard we have marriage equality in this country. The LGBTQ community can't feel oppressed anymore. But this negates the fact that less than a year ago, 49 queer bodies were killed in a nightclub, in the only sanctuary that they may have ever been welcome in. It doesn't give credit to the fact that depression and suicide are significantly higher for people in the queer community, or the fact that some people can't even walk down the street holding the hand of the person who they love without words of hatred being thrown at them from all directions. Too many people in our country live with the fear of the reality that they may soon lose their health care. Too many people live in this country and hear "build a wall" being thrown at them. People live in fear of being deported, being separated from their loved ones. It's easy to forget these things when they don't directly affect us. When we can sit back in comfort and hear these things but choose to ignore them. But what we need, what people in our midst who are not within the majority need, are ambulance drivers who are willing to run a few red lights in this state of emergency in the name of justice. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was subversive. This was a non-violent act of resistance, similar to what King is advocating for. King obviously learned from the best. Jesus was showing the people of his time that there was another way. Even though they lived under empire and had that constant reminder that they were no longer free, they didn't have to submit. They could resist. But Jesus was an inconvenient Messiah. The people of Israel would have much preferred for Jesus to come in with swords blazing on a war horse to overthrow the Roman Empire, to create the kingdom of God on earth. Instead, Jesus came on a donkey, and he taught others. Jesus taught his followers kindness and love for those around them. He had compassion on the others that the majority had overlooked. And that's why his followers just couldn't wrap their minds around his message so many times. It was such a far cry from their norm, the norm of their context. Why couldn't Jesus have just done all of this work for us? It would have been so much easier. But by taking the slow and grueling path in life and on that donkey, he is inviting all of us to join with him on this journey. And so when we pray for God to move mountains and to create heaven on earth, we can't be surprised when God grabs another shovel and hands it to us and asks us to join in on this mountain-moving party that Jesus has started and that Jesus continues to work alongside us. Are we ready to praise God for Jesus' coming when Jesus asks us to join him in this difficult work? Are we ready to attend Jesus' parade? Are we ready to get in that ambulance and run some red lights? Jesus teaches us how to be and to be subversive. And I see that here in Prairie Street among all of us. I see it in the ESL classes that are taught in our basement. I see it in the conversations on how to become a sanctuary church. I see Jesus moving in the way that we are so involved in our community. There are so many ways to get more involved. More things come, like the Peace Parade today from 2 to 4, starting at Hively Church at 2 o'clock. Or the Peace March happening for CCJ on the 19th from 5 to 6:30 at Walker Park in Elkhart. There are so many opportunities to help and serve and give of ourselves, and I am so grateful to be a part of a community that gives of ourselves. For some, adding one more thing to our schedule just doesn't seem to make sense. Our calendars are constantly being filled to the brim, and we just can't give anything else. But what if we took some things out? What if we replaced them with other things that we found to be more important? What if we also prayed? But in that time of prayer, we just sat with the fact that sometimes we too just don't get it. We live in a society that has fallen short. We live in a broken kingdom. One way that Jesus has been trying to teach me to be more subversive, trying be the operative word, is through dumpster diving. At first, I have to admit, I was really excited to get some free food. And as a good Mennonite, free is the right price for me. It started like that. But after the second trip, I began to realize that the food was not the only reason I was going. I recognized that this was one store in one neighborhood, in one city, and how many other stores were throwing out this wealth of food that was still good, still edible. How is it possible that so many people in our country go to bed hungry when there is so much food right here in front of me? And so now, as a new spiritual practice, as I prepare any of this food that I've been able to liberate from the dumpster, I remember all of these people. I remember our broken society that throws away perfectly good food, and I hold them close as I prepare and chop and eat and share with my friends. And afterwards, I give it up to God and say, I feel so helpless. I don't know what else to do. And so I continue to try and subvert this crazy system that we have of throwing away food by going and taking some and eating it. As I was reflecting on this sermon, I was reminded of a new favorite poem of mine. And so to end, I would like to read four short lines, and I invite you to think and reflect on the subversiveness of the seeds in this poem. It was written by a Mennonite pastor in Columbus, Ohio, and it is called An Ode to a Seed. Ode to the seeds who make a way out of no way. Ode to the vines who refuse to accept a place on the ground, but thrust toward the sun, scaling everything in reach. An ode to the dandelion who doesn't need your permission to be fabulous. Amen.
As a song of response, in your green, sing the journey, number 30, Jesus Christ is waiting. I will sing verse 1 as a solo, and then we'll all join in for verses 2 through 5. Number 30 in green, sing the journey.
Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the streets. No one is his neighbor, all alone he eats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am lonely too. Make me friend or stranger, fit to wait on you. Jesus Christ is raging, raging in the streets. Where is justice?
against the powerful currents of his own anxieties and fears, against the temptation to turn around and not give his life away, against the sorrow that saturated his very bones. Jesus mounted the donkey and headed down the winding road to Jerusalem, surrounded by disciples, not one of whom understood him, hemmed in by a crowd that cheered for all the wrong reasons, and rode that little donkey as a prince of peace entering the holy city. We come to our own time of asking why we are here, why we come today. This includes our confessions. This Sunday, we offer a ritual of writing down our sins, our brokenness on the paper provided, or simply using the paper as a symbol of all the brokenness we carry within, the brokenness we want and need to bring to Jesus. While we are singing, you may come to the cross, and our beloved brothers Simon and Chet are ready to take those papers and to nail them to the cross. And then after the service, they will take those papers, place them in the metal bucket, and those will be burned. So now I invite you to prayer of confession. Lord, we are afraid sometimes, often, to give what you ask. Lord, we can be too proud to lay our cares before you. Break our hearts of stone. Let us see your steadfast love. Lord, forgive us for what we have not asked. Forgive us for what we have asked that was not needed. For what we have kept that was needed, and for what we have given that was unjust. When things go our way, we believe our lives are good because we worked hard. When things don't go our way, we blame others for our troubles. God, help us to take care, not only for our own lives, but for the lives of our neighbors, ready to drive that ambulance. Forgive us when we have failed to love our neighbors as ourselves, but instead have judged. May we have the grace of sincere repentance, find our true selves gathered up in confession and healing and freedom. And may we now bring all of ourselves to the cross for forgiveness and healing. Amen.